B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Shkolim Daf Daled. We're going to start from Halacha Daled, the fourth Mishnah of the Yerushalmi, eight lines from the bottom of Daf Gimel Amud Beis. Says the Mishnah, Afal pi she'omru, even though we saw in a previous Mishnah, in Halacha Gimel, Ein memashkenim noshim v'avodim oktanim, that the Beis Din would not take pledges from women, from slaves, and from minors. We'll soon see which minors, but from minors, nonetheless, aval im shaklu mekablim miyodom. However, if they come on their own accord and with a good heart, they want to give over their shkolim, their machtes hashekel, for the Beis Hamikdash, for the korbanos, then we accept it from them. That means they're not really required to bring it, or at least to the extent we'll soon see. But at least to the extent that ein memashkenim, that we do not take pledges from them, nonetheless we allow them to bring the shkolim. Continues the Mishnah, hanochri v'hakuti, a goy, a nochri, a kuti were a nation where at some point, out of fear, it seemed that they converted to Klal Yisrael, and there's actually a machlekas whether they are considered as goyim or whether they're considered as Klal Yisrael, and we'll have to see in the Gemara exactly which opinion the Mishnah follows. But the Mishnah says, "Hanochri v'hakuti, a goy or a kuti sheshoklu, that wanted to bring shkolim for the Beis Hamikdash, in mekablin mehen, we do not receive from the goyim or from the kutim money for the korbanis, the shkolim." Continues the Mishnah, Ve'ein mekablim miyodam, we also do not receive from them. Let's assume it means from a goy and from a kuti. Kinei zovim, we know that if somebody becomes a zov, he has to bring a pair of birds, turtles, doves. There's a whole mesechta on that. Mesechas kinim, mesechas zovim, is that we do not receive from a goy or from a kuti the kinim, the pair of birds that had to be brought by the zovim, v'kinei zovois, or those that had to be brought by the zovois, v'kinei yeldos, or those that are brought by women after birth, v'chatois v'ashomis, and or a chatos we don't accept from them, nor do we accept from them an osham. However, other korbonos that they bring, we do accept from them. That's called nadarim and nadavois, things that they can volunteer, they can to give to the as a korban that they can bring. Zeh klal, the rule is kol shenidir v'nidev, anything that can be vowed, that can be given as to the base, to the mizbeach, then mekablim miyodom, and they are korbanos oilo, shlomim, menochis, different birds, and the levoino, the eitzim, things that go on the mizbeach. If a goy wants to bring them, we do receive korbanos from a goy, but only a type of korban which is nidir v'nidiv, that can be given over as a vow or as a voluntary gift, but not these kinei choiva. Kol she'ene nidir v'nidiv, anything that cannot be given for the mizbeach, ein mekablim miyodom, we do not receive from a goy or from the kutim. V'chein mefurosh al yedei Ezra, and this is explicit in a posuk by Ezra, shenemar, it says that he was telling them, and this is referring to the kutim, that the kutim, they wanted to contribute to the Beis Hamikdash, and the posuk says, loy lochem velonu livna is bayis leilekeinu, it's inappropriate that you and us together, Klal Yisrael and the kutim, should contribute in building the Beis Hamikdash. And therefore, it's an explicit pasuk that we do, other than korbanos that we do accept from them, but other things we do not accept from the goyim or the kutim. Now, the reason that we do not take the shkolim from a goy, even though a goy is allowed to bring a korban, is because he can bring a korban and a neder and a dova, but he cannot have any share in the korbanos tzibur of Klal Yisrael. The money that was being given here for the korbanos, the machzis hashekel, is for the korbanos tzibur, which a goy has no part of. Regarding the kuti, the reason we don't take shkolim is from him is either because he's considered a goy, we're going to see that soon in the Gemara and Daf Daled, or even if he's not considered a goy, then we do not take from him, as we have from the pasuk, lo ilochem velonu livnois bais leilekenu, livnois bais leilekenu. And even though this pasuk is talking about the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash, or the building of the Beis HaMikdash, also something we're going to see in the Gemara, it seems that the money given to the Shkolim is also in that bracket of upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash. This is something that will be discussed a little bit on Dav Yud Amud Beis in the Mishnah with Moisar HaTruma. The leftovers of the money given to the Machtzis HaShekel is used for the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore the Kutim were excluded from that. Continues the Mishnah. Ve'elu shechayovin bekalboin. A kalboin was a small coin. We'll soon see in the Gemara exactly how much it was. It was either a 12th of a Machtzis HaShekel or a 24th of a Machtzis HaShekel, but it was a very small addition that was given with the shekel. Ve'elu shechayovin bekalboin. Who's required to give this kalboin? Levim v'Yisraelim v'Geirim v'Avodim Meshuchrorim. All those who are required to bring a korban, to bring the Machtzis HaShekel, have to add the kalboin. Aval lo koyanim v'Noshim v'Avodim uktanim. However, koyanim or noshim avodim uktanim, they were not expected to bring to bring a kalboin. We understand why Noshim, Avodim, and Ktanim, they do not need to add the extra kalboin, because they are intrinsically potter, they're exempt from the Machtzis HaShekel. They want to bring it, that's very nice of them. We do not expect them and demand them to add the extra kalboin. With Kohanim, it's an issue. We saw in the Gemara, in the Mishnah, and the Gemara on Daf Gimel Amud Beis, there's a Machlekes Tanoim where the Kohanim are Chayev. So it could be that the Mishnah here says is going according to the opinion of Ben Bukhari that Kohanim are also exempt. Or it could be that even if according to the opinion that Kohanim are chayiv in Machtzis HaShekel, since we do not take a pledge from them, it's in the same bracket as those that are not chayiv and do not need to bring the kalboin. And these are all discussed in the Mefarshim. Continues the Mishnah. HaShekel al yudei Kohen. If a regular person who for his own Machtzis HaShekel would have to add a kalboin, and now this person is taking a shekel, a Machtzis HaShekel, and giving it to the Beis HaMikdash on behalf of a kohen, alidei ha'isha, or on behalf of a woman, alidei eved, on behalf of a slave, alidei katan, or on behalf of a minor. In all these cases, potter, or since those people themselves would not have to bring a kalboin, have to add a kalboin, this person also doesn't. And before we carry on the next part of the Mishnah, let's just introduce what is going on here with this kalboin, this extra coin that had to be given with the Machtzis HaShekel. What was that in aid of? Why was that? And there are two, it's going to be Machlekes, we're going to soon see in the Mishnah, in the Gemara, but there was one reason to give a kalboin. It's a typical money changer's fee. If you come with a foreign currency or with a different type of coins and you want to change it for a different coin, for example, a Machtzis HaShekel, the money changer would charge you a little bit extra, and this would be the kalboin. And even though that you may not necessarily be using a money changer, and you may be doing a dealing directly with Hektish, there's no reason that Hektish should have to lose anything just because you didn't go to a money changer. Had you gone to a money changer, that's what it would have cost you. Give that to Hektish as well, to the Beis HaMikdash. And we'll see soon that there's going to be cases where where we give to the Hektish the kalboin, even in the event that you could have avoided and you didn't really need the money changer. And then there's another issue, and this is Reb Meir's opinion. Reb Meir says that we're going to learn from a pasuk that the Machtzis HaShekel that had to be brought must not be less value than the Machtzis HaShekel that Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu when he showed him what the Machtzis HaShekel was supposed to be. And since it's impossible to know whether the coins that we're using are a fraction less value than the original Machtzis HaShekel, and therefore min HaTorah, the fact that Hashem showed Moshe this coin of Machtzis HaShekel and said it must be at least this value, Hashem was obviously telling Moshe Rabbeinu to make sure that min HaTorah, whenever they bring a Machtzis HaShekel, add a very little bit to it, just to make sure that you're giving the value of that original Machtzis HaShekel. That's the opinion of Reb Meir. So let's start seeing the halachas of the kalboin. Continues the Mishnah. What happens if a person had a single shekel, a whole shekel, and he only has to give half a shekel, but his friend has to give half a shekel? So, v'im shokal al yodei val yad chaveri, which means he's going to the Beis HaMikdash and saying, here's a single shekel, half is for me, half is for my friend. Then the Tanakhama say, chayev b'kalboin echod. You have to add on the kalboin. Had you gone to the money changer and changed a single coin of a shekel for two half shekels, the money changer would have taken something from you. Give that to the Beis HaMikdash. Rav Meir Omer. Rav Meir actually holds that the truth is that since you're giving a whole shekel, then as far as the money changer is concerned, there was no exchange here. I'm not changing from one currency to the next. I'm giving two shekels just in a single coin. And therefore, we do not need to add anything as far as the money changer is concerned, or as far as the Hekdash acting in place of the money changer, there's nothing to add. However, Rav Meir says that every single machzis ha-shekel has to be accompanied with a kalboin, and therefore Rav Meir Oimer, beis kalboinis, you have to give two kalboinis, one for your machzis ha-shekel and one for your friend's machzis ha-shekel. Continues the Mishnah. Hanoisein sela v'noitel shekel. And sela of the Mishnah is actually is actually considered two shkolim of the Mishnah, and every shekel of the Mishnah is the value of a half a shekel of the Torah, the machzis ha-shekel. So if somebody comes and gives a sela, which as far as the Torah is concerned, it's a full shekel, and v'noitel shekel, and he's going to take back half of that sela, which is the machzis ha-shekel, it means he only needs to give a single machzis ha-shekel. He goes to the Beis HaMikdash with a coin of a sela wanting half change, then chayev shnei kalboinis, then his chayev two kalboinis, and this is we have to discuss who this is going to. Is this referring to Reb Meir's opinion or to the Tanakhama? Because here, according to everybody, there is a type of a fee. Since you're giving a larger coin, expecting the Hekdash to be in place of a money changer to give you change, you definitely have to pay at least one kalboin for the change. But the fact that there's a type of a double transaction going on here, because on the one hand, you only need to give half a shekel, you gave a full shekel, that's one type of transaction. You need to get back a coin of half a shekel, which is another type of transaction, and the Aruch HaShulchan says that the truth is it's one and the same. You're giving a big coin, asking change half, but it's considered, it's viewed, as far as for the sake of the Beis HaMikdash, they shouldn't lose. We view it as if it's two types of transactions. There could even be a place to say that there's two kalboinus. Besides for that, we have Rav Meir's issue that the virtue of the fact that you're giving a machzis ha-shekel requires you to add a kalboin. And we'll see in the Gemara, there's going to be a discussion exactly how to understand these two kalboinis mentioned in the Mishnah. Continues the Mishnah. Ha-shekel al-yad oni, if somebody is giving a machzis ha-shekel for a poor man, val-yad shcheinoi, or for his neighbor, val-yad ben iroi, or for anybody else in his city, anyone who he's not required to give, it's not one of his children or something, which that's a discussion on its own right, but anyone who you're giving the machzis ha-shekel for, that you are not required, you're not mechuyev to give for them, then potter. Then you're potter from the kalboin. Vim hilvon, however, if you're lending it to them and they're going to pay you back, then it's as if they're bringing the kalboin. And then chayev, they're bringing the machzis ha-shekel, and then you're chayev to give, to add the extra kalboin. Continues the Gemara, the Mishnah, Ha'achin Hashutvin. If two brothers whose they're inherited from their father passed away, and now they have a heritage, and between them and these brothers, they're also Shutvin. We'll see in the Gemara exactly how that works, but they're also partners. So these brothers that became partners, then Shechayovin Bekalboin Pturin Mimaisa Behema, Kashechayovin Bemaisa Behema Turin mina kalboin. And this goes as follows. We know that when two shutfin have to, when partners bring machzis ha-shekel, there's no reason in the world that they shouldn't have to give a kalboin, to add a kalboin, as one always would. And if two people come together, as we saw before, the imshokal al yodev al yad chaveri, chayev bekalboin echod. That means if you come and you're bringing a machzis ha-shekel together with your friend, you have to add in a kalboin. However, that's only if you're shutvim. if you're partners. If you're not partners, which means if it's as if the heritage is still, so to speak, called betfusas habayis, it's still considered as being under the name of the father's name, the father that passed away, they haven't yet divided the inheritance. And since they haven't divided it, it's as if the father is paying for each of the sons. We said before, if somebody pays for somebody else, you don't need to give a kalboin. So whether you have to give a kalboin or not depends on, are these people considered as partners, or are they considered as being paid for by the father, or the inheritance, which is still still on the name of the father's, in the father's name, the tfusas habayis. When it comes to maisa behema, which is halacha that every tenth animal, 10% of the animals have to be given to the Beis HaMikdash as a korban, the kosher animals, then over there there's a pasuk that says that if it belongs to shutfin, if it's partners, they're potter from bringing maisa behema. However, if all the animals belong to a single entity, then they're still chayev. So wherever these brothers, wherever they're considered partners, then the fact that they're partners would mean that their animals are exempt from Maisa Behema, but they're chayev with a kalboin. And in a case where it's not considered a partnership, it's considered as if it's all still the name of the father, then as far as the kalboin is concerned, they'll be exempt. As far as Maisa Behema is concerned, it's as if the animals all still belong to the father, and there will be a chayev with Maisa Behema. That's what the Mishnah says, that these brothers who are partners, then chayovin bekalboin, in a case where they're chayev bekalboin, exactly what the determining factor is as to whether they are considered partners or not is something going to be discussed in the Gemara. V'kamahu kalboin, how much is a kalboin? Mo'o kesef divi Reb Meir, and this is a twelfth of a machtzis ha-shekel. V'chachomim oimrim, chetzi mo'o, it's half a mo'o, which is a 24th of a machtzis ha-shekel. Says the Gemara, we saw at the beginning of the Mishnah, afal pisha omru that ein memashkinim noshim avodim uktanim, aval im shoklu mekablim miyodom. That's what we saw in the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, ha'olit voya ein toivin. From the fact that the Mishnah says that, we're talking now about the miners, the ktanim. The fact that it says that we don't take a mashkin from the miners, but if they want to come and they volunteer out of the goodness of their hearts to come and give a donation of a machzah shekel to the Beis HaMikdash, we accept it from them. So the Gemara says, from the fact that it says that mekablin miyodim, we accept it, it means that you don't actually go to them and demand it from them. You don't even do that. Not only do you not take a pledge from them, you do not even demand it from them. And this is contrary to what we saw earlier on in the Gemara on Daf Gimel Amud Beis. Ha'olitvoya, and it means in this Mishnah it seems that to demand from them the machzah shekel ain't toivin. Hocha'at omar toivin. In the Mishnah on Dav Gimel Amud Beis earlier on, it says there that we do not take a pledge from the ketanim, and the Gemara deduced from there, ha'olitvoya toivin. We do demand from them. V'hocha'at omar ain't toivin. That means you have two Mishnayos, both happen to be on Daf Gimel Amud Beis. In the first Mishnah, it seems that we do demand from the Ketanim, we just don't take from them a pledge. In the second Mishnah, it seems you don't even demand from them. We just accept it from them if they offer it to us. Answers the Gemara, Kan Kushahevi Shtei Cyrus, Kan Kushalohevi Shtei Cyrus. In Mishnah Gimel, we're talking about that he's already brought Shtei Cyrus. He's already a Godel. And then midrabbonon, he's got a proper chiyuv to bring machzis hashekel because he's considered a godel, and the rabbonon were machayev him, and therefore we demand him to give the machzis hashekel. We do not take a mashkin because minatayri is not chayev till 20. Mishnah Dalit, our Mishnah, we're learning now that we don't even demand it from them, is talking about a minor who's under the age of, doesn't have shtei cyrus, he's not yet considered a godel, and therefore we do not even demand it from them. Continues the Gemara, Hanochri v'akuti chule. We saw two statements in the Mishnah regarding a goy and the kutim. The first one was that we do not take shkolim from them, and that the Mishnah brought it to pasuk lo ilochem v'lonu. We do not take shkolim, not from goyim and not from the kutim. And then there was a second statement: ve'in mekablim miyodom. We do not receive from goyim and kutim kinezovim, kinezovis, kineyoldis, all those korbanos chayva, which people would bring, we do not receive, even though we do receive korbonos from goyim and from anybody. However, these korbonos we do not receive, as we explained in the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Omer Rav Bo. Rav Bo says, Tipote Rishta, explain the Mishnah that says that we do not receive the kinei choiva from a kuti. Is command Omer, kuti kanachri. Must be that it's following the opinion who holds that kutim were goyim. And that's why we do not take these korbanos from them. Dis Pelgin, because it's a machlekus. Kuti kanachri divrei Rebbe. Rebbe holds kutim had the status of goyim, their conversion was invalid. Rav Shem ben Gamliel says a kuti has the status of Yisrael regarding all his halachas, and therefore, of course, he can bring these korbanos chayva. And the Mishnah says that ein mekablin miyodom kinezovin kinezovis v'kineyoldis and chatois v'ashamis. So says Rav Bo in the Yerushalmi here that our Mishnah seems to be following Rebbe that kutim agoyim. Omer Reb Lezer. Reb Elezer argued with Rav Bo and said, Masnisin benochrim. When this second statement, where it says that we do not receive these korbanos, actually is not talking about kutim. The first statement was, Hanochri v'akuti sheshoklu ein mekablim mehem. We do not take shkolim from them. And then it just says, V'ein mekablim miyodom. We do not receive from them. From who? We thought it means also the goy, and also the kuti who's similar to the goy. Now we're saying no. It's only referring to the goy. That's the main theme. We don't take from goyim. And the kutim, they're not like the goyim regarding that second statement, and therefore, it's not the end of the world if the second statement is only talking about the goy. That was Reb Elezer. Reb Elezer says that Masnisin benochrim haba kutim. Lo, he was not talking about kutim, and indeed we do receive these korbanos from the kutim, according to Reb Shem ben Gamliel. With Tony we learned, Tony Cain, we learned in the Brisa, the pasuk says, "Dabel b'nei Yisrael v'marta lehem odom ki yakriv mikem korban l'Hashem min abeimah min abokah min atzoyin takribo es korbanchem." That's the pasuk in Parshas Vayikra. So the Brisa says, "Odom." What do we learn from the first? It says, "Odom ki yakriv mikem." Man brings a korban. When he brings a korban, odom l'rabis es agirim, including anyone who's a man, even the converts. These kutim, they were converts. Mikem, it says kiyakriv mikem. What does it mean mikem? From you, excluding somebody who's not all of you, some of you. Who's it excluding? Lohitis amumrim. People who are mumrim, they disagree, they go against the whole Torah, they are not allowed to bring korbanos. These kutim are not in that bracket. And therefore, they can bring these korbanos. Says the Gemara, Masnisin Pligi Reb Elezer. He says, but we have an issue with this. Because how did we just explain? You, Reb Elezer, Reb Elezer and Reb Elezer is the same. In Yerushalmi, often we have letters of names that slip away. So you, Reb Elezer, what did you say? You said that the first part of the Mishnah is talking about, what we do not take shkolim, is talking about the goy and the kuti. The second statement is only talking about a goy. We have an issue with that. Because you, Reb Shem ben Gamliel, you, Reb Elezer, says that the Mishnah is like Reb Shem ben Gamliel, and Reb Shem ben Gamliel says that Kuti is like a Yisrael, and therefore you do take the Korbanos. So it must be only talking about a Goy. Says the Gemara, we have an issue with that. Because it says, Ein mekablim miyodom, kine zovim v'zovis kine yilodis. That's the statement we're talking about in the Mishnah. V'chiyesh kine zovim v'zovis benochrim? Do you think that Goyim are busy with the Tumah of Zov and Tumah of Zova, and they would come and bring a set of birds as a korban for the Ziva? There's something which doesn't exist by Goyim. And some say that this Tumah doesn't exist by the Goyim. Others say that the Goy would not even busy with himself with these sort of korbanos. The Mishnah wouldn't say you don't receive these animals, these birds from a Goy. It's no Goy would ever bring them. So if the statement says that you do not receive them from ein mekablin miyodom kinei zovin kinei zovis kinei yoldos, it cannot be talking about a goy. So who elo? It must be that reisha benochrim, that the very first statement that we do not receive geirim, that we do not receive shkolim is benochrim, is talking about also kutim, also goyim. The sefer and the second statement talking about these kinei zovim, kinei zovis, is only bekutim, is only talking about kutim. It cannot be talking about goyim. It must be talking about kutim. If it's only talking about kutim, number one, it's against what Reb Elezer says. If kutim, if the part of the Mishnah that says ein mekablim miyodom kinezovim kinezovis is talking about kutim, it must be that the kutim are considered goyim, like Rebbe. So that's a status. The Mishnah must be like Rebbe, and that's what Reb Bo said, not like what Reb Elezer says, that it's Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. But now that we say that the beginning of the first statement is talking about a goy and a kuti, and the second statement is only talking about a kuti, now we have a bit of an issue with that, because the main part is the goy. The main part of the reason for not receiving is because of goy. The question is, how close, how similar kutim to the halachas of a goy? But to say that the second statement is only talking about kutim and is not referring to goy, that seems a little bit questionable. And that's what the Gemara is going to ask. Elo reisha benachrim v'seifa b'kutim. That was really the question here. That means when the Gemara says v'chiyesh kine zovim v'zovis benachrim, that's a statement. That means the Mishnah is definitely talking about kutim because it cannot apply to goy. And then the Gemara is asking, Elo reisha benachrim v'seifa b'kutim. Are you comfortable with the fact that the beginning of the Mishnah, the first statement is talking about goy and kuti, and the second one is talking about only kuti? If we say it's only goy, not kuti, as we thought when we were explaining Reb Elezer, that's okay because it's all about goyim. But to say it's only talking about kuti, that doesn't feel so right. Says the Braisa, no, it's no problem. Cain, who, it's fine that way. Reisha benachrim, the first statement is talking about kuti and goy. The sefer b'kutim, and the second statement is only relevant to kutim. That's how the Taklin Chadtin explains this Gemara. Continues the Gemara. Omer Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says as follows, and we're talking now about the extent we saw in the Braisa, we saw in the Mishnah, a posuk, Lo ilochem velonu livnois beis leilukenu, that the Kutim were told, it's inappropriate for you to be part of us, Klal Yisrael, in building the Beis HaMikdash. And not only in building it, it would seem also the upkeep of it. Because in the Mishnah, we're not really talking about building the Beis HaMikdash, we're talking about the upkeep. And as we explained, that the shkolim that were given, they also contributed to the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore we did not receive the shkolim from the kutim. But now we're going to see it's actually a machlekes. Omer Reb Yechanan, b'tchila, when they were actually building the Beis HaMikdash, ein mekablim mehem, we did not receive from the kutim, loy davar mesuyim, loy davar she'einim mesuyim. Not something which was a distinctive object, something which was very clear, and in the Beis HaMikdash we would be able to say this was given, was contributed by, was given as by this kuti. It's a gnai. The Befarshim explained, number one, there's an issue of a gnai, and also Misparim boy, they're going to be very haughty about that and pride themselves. Look, we've had part in building your Beis HaMikdash, and therefore a distinctive object was not allowed to be received from them. And also a non-distinctive object. Also a dova, which is einim mesuyim. Ubesayf, after the Beis HaMikdash was already built, then at that point, there was no more issue. And the truth is that there's an added issue here, and that is that allowing the goyim or the kutim to contribute in building the Beis HaMikdash was actually an issue, because as soon as they have their hand in the building, they could actually cause complications, they could weaken the people and make them stop building, and they could cause issues. That was an added problem here. But that problem only applied during the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Once the Beis HaMikdash was built and there's no issue, they couldn't control how the Beis HaMikdash was going to be built and when it would be built, at that point, that issue doesn't apply anymore. The other issue of them priding themselves of having part of the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash, that was an issue. So Rabbi Yochanan says that whilst building the Beis HaMikdash, in Mekablim Mehem, we do not receive anything from them. Lo Yidavu Mesuyim, Lo Yidavu She'einim Mesuyim. We were afraid that they were going to get involved and cause trouble. Ubesayif, however, after the Beis HaMikdash was built for the upkeep, Mekablim Mehem Davu She'einim Mesuyim, something which is non-distinctive, it was not, you wouldn't be able to tell, this is it, you can take from them. Ve'in Mekablim Mehem Davu Mesuyim, but something which is a very distinctive object, was not received from them, as we said before. It's a gnai, and that they would pride themselves with it, and therefore that we would not receive even later. Reb Shimon ben Lakish Omar, Bein b'tchila, bein b'soif, ein mekablim mehem, loy davam mesuyam, veloy davam she'einu mesuyam. He argues the Rebbe Chanan and says, even after the Beis HaMikdash is built, and it's just the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash, even a davar she'einu mesuyam, we do not take from them. Says the Gemara, Masnissin, there's a braisa, pligi al Rebbe Chanan, that seems to be contrary to what Rebbe Chanan said. Rebbe Chanan said that we receive from the Goyim, after the Beis HaMikdash has been built. It's just about the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash. We do receive from them, providing it's a non-distinctive object. And the Braisa says, Ein mekablin mehen hekdesh unedava lebedek habayis. We do not receive any donation from them for the bedek habayis, the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash. The upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash normally is a concept that applies after the Beis HaMikdash is built. That's why it's called Bedek Habayis. It's just the upkeep of an existing Beis HaMikdash. And it says, Ein mekablim nehen hekdesh unedava, we do not take any donations from them. Rabbi Yechanan says that if it's Ein mesuyam, you do. So the Gemara is going to give two answers. Posar lo explain it, Bein betchila, Bein besoif, or belvad dava mesuyam. It could be that that Bryce is talking about a dava mesuyam. If something's very distinctive object, then it's true that even after the Beis HaMikdash is built, Rabbi Yechanan says you cannot receive it from them. Or another answer is Posar lo b'tchila shafilu ma'isav yilicham l'b'yam ha'melach. So it could be talk. The Braisa is only talking about, even though the term used is Bedek Habayis, it could be the Braisa is talking about the time of the building of the Beis HaMikdash, and the building of the Beis HaMikdash, even if it's a davosh eini mesuyam, we did not receive it from them. Continues the Gemara, and we don't need this new heading of Shimon ben Lakish, Omar ben Betchila ben Beseif, in Mekabel Mehem, Loi Dava Masuyam Vechulu. We've already said it. Now the Gemara is saying that Masnissin Pligi al Rupshim ben Lakish. There seems to be a Mishnah that argues with Rupshim ben Lakish. Rupshim ben Lakish says that we even after the Beis HaMikdash has been built, and it's just regarding the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash, we do not receive even a davar she'eino mesuyam. What does it say in this Mishnah? The Mishnah, Dutani, Hakol Shovim Shehem Noidrin V'Nidrin, that a goy is allowed to, number one, he's allowed to be noider, he's allowed to give a gift, a vow, he's to the Beis HaMikdash. V'Nidrin, he's also allowed to be the subject of a neder, which means if Yisrael says that I am giving the value of this goy for the Beis HaMikdash, then it's valid. And if the goy says I'm committing myself to give to the Beis HaMikdash, he's also chayiv. Everybody agrees, noidrin v'nidrin. What the hakel shovin? It's that's contrast to erichin, which we're not discussing now. But what do you see from there? The goy is allowed to give to the Beis HaMikdash. He's allowed to give a neder, Noidrin v'nidrin. So according to Rabbi Yechanan, it could be talking about a davar she'einu mesuyam after the Beis HaMikdash has been built. But according to Reish Lakish, who says that even after the Beis HaMikdash has been built, even a davar she'einu mesuyam you do not receive from the goy, then what is this? When is it true that a goy is noidrin v'nidrin? Answers the Gemara, pasar loy oila. We're talking about an oila. That we're talking about a korban. A goy can bring a korban. So noidrin means where he says, I'm committing myself to bring a korban oila. Okay, bring a korban oila, we'll receive it. The question is, nidrin, what does that mean? What does it mean? So when we say that a goy could be the subject of a neder, then we can understand that. But if we're talking about noidrin, when nidrin is talking about an oila itself, nidrin means that somebody else would be able to make the goy have to bring an oila. That means that Yisrael would do something that would force the goy to have to bring an oila. When would that ever happen? So nicha noidrin, says the Gemara. We understand noidrin means a goy can contribute a korban. A noidrin oila. Nidrin oila. When does nidrin oila apply? That somebody else is going to, he's going to be the subject of somebody else making him bring a korban oila. He's not going to figure, Yisrael says, I want this guy to bring an oila. The guy is not going to bring the oila. Elo, says the Gemara, Kishomar Nochri Hare Olai Oila. What happens if a guy says, I'm committing myself to bring an oila? Vashoma Yisrael, and the Yisrael heard what the guy said, Va'omar, and the Yisrael responded, Ma she'omar zeh, olai, whatever he said, I'm committed to bring. So there you see that the goy was the subject of a korban, where the Yisrael said, I'm committed to bring a korban that the goy had committed himself. That's the nidrin. And that's how that Mishnah is explained. That's the girus of the goyin and the girus of the taklin chaditin. Continues the Gemara, Ve'enei mei vi'imoi nesachim. This goy who's going to bring an oilot, does he not bring with him the nesachim, which is money to pay for the wine, and the minchas that go with, that accompany the korban? U'moisa nesachim, we know the halacha is that when there's some change from the money that was supposed to be used for the nesachim, that wasn't used for the nesachim, it's loy l'kli sharis inon. Was that change not used for clay shoris, to buy the kalim, the utensils for the Beis HaMikdash? Nimtzos, you see that when this guy is going to bring his carbon oila, then also mevi davar she'ena mesuyam, he's also going to be bringing something which is, it's a non-distinctive object, because he didn't bring the clay shoris, he just brought money for the nesachim, and that was going to be used for the clay shoris. And according to Rish Lakish, we do not receive even a donation of a non-distinctive object for the Beis HaMikdash from a goy. So this Mishnah seems to contradict what Rish Lakish said. Answers the Gemara, Omer Reb Yosi bar Rav Bun v'ha taninon. This, you have an issue in any case from a different Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Ne'erochin v'oirchin Loi lebedek habayis inun. We know that a goy is shayach, he belongs to the parasha called Erechin. And Erechin is different to a typical neder or nedava, a neder, that Erechin is when a person commits himself to give to the Beis HaMikdash the value of a person, and there's a very fixed rate depending on whether it's a man or a woman and their age. And a goy is in that parasha, it's a machlokes in Mishnayos, exactly how, we don't need to go into that now. But the concept of Erechin does apply even to a goy. And the question is, that since we see that Nerochin, V'Erechin Lo Lebedek HaBayis Inun, when they actually pay their the Erech, the value of what they committed themselves to pay, what do they do with that money? It's for the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash. So you see clearly from Erechin that a goy is allowed to contribute something to the value of, to the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash. And how we can explain that? According to Rabbi Yochanan, it would be a non-distinctive object or non-distinctive money, and it would go after they finished building the Beis HaMikdash. According to Rish Lakish, we would have an issue with that. So heich mad at Omar. So in exactly the same way that in Erechin, how's Rish Lakish going to explain that? Heich madat Omar Tamon, that l'shamayim hu miskaven. When this guy is contributing this erech, he thinks the money's going for a korban. He's got no idea that the money doesn't go for a korban, it goes to the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash. U'meleinim boim lebedek habayis. And almost on its own, it gets contributed, it gets given to the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash. But not that the goy is coming to say, I've given something for the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash. He thinks it's a korban. Kainat Omar Afhacha, so too over here, in the case of the Moisar Nesachim, with the korban, the oila that the goy brings, is also going to have change from the money he brought for the Nesachim. L'shamayim u'miskaven, he thinks all the money is going for the Nesachim. And he doesn't realize there's going to be a bit of change, and that will go for the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash. U'me'le'enim boim le Lebedek Habayis, and on their own, it's not Lebedek Habayis, it's Klei Shoris, as we said before, and on their own, the change is going to be given for the Klei Shoris, for the being used in the Beis HaMikdash. Since the goy didn't come and donate the money, therefore it's okay, even according to Rish Lakish. Continues the Gemara. Rav Shimon ben Lakish, Posar lo. What's the source of Rav Shimon ben Lakish, who says that we do not receive any contributions from a goy, even after the Beis HaMikdash is built, even a non-distinctive contribution from the pasuk that we saw in the Mishnah, Loi lochem velonu livno isbayis lelekenu, that the kutim were told, and this applies to every goy as well, it's inappropriate for you to be part of the building and upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash. Reb Chizkia, Omar Reb Simon Shoal. Reb Chizkia said, he suggested, that me'ata, Ein mekablim mahem. Are you going to say that we do not receive from a goy even la'amas hamayim for the, since the pasuk, the source, that you do not receive contribution to the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash, is loy lochem velonu livno is bayis le'elokeinu? If so, since we have a different pasuk that's going to mention Yerushalayim, then are we also assuming that in mekablim mahem we do not receive any funds from a goy la'amas hamayim for the stream that was flowing through the Beis HaMikdash, ulochoim Yisrael, and the walls of the city, umigdolei Yisrael, and the towers, al shem, because it says in the pasuk, velochem, the pasuk in Nehemiah, v'oshiv oisom, dovor, v'oimar lohem, elikei ha'shamayim, hu yatzliach lonu, v'anachnu avodov nokum, uboninu, velochem ein chelek utztoko, v'zikorin b'Yerushalayim, that to you, you have no part in contributing towards Yerushalayim, not only the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash itself, even Yerushalayim. So that's what Reb Chizkiya suggested, that it would seem that we do not receive any funds from a goy, even for the upkeep of Yerushalayim. Continues the Gemara, we're going to skip these few lines, which the Mefarshim here say shouldn't be here. Says the Gemara, my tama, the word inside is masnita, but it's supposed to be my tama de Reb Meir. And now we're going back to the next part of the Mishnah, and that is the concept of the Kalboin. And the truth is, according to Taklin Chaditin, this Mishnah is actually split into three Mishnayos. If you look in the Mishnayos, it's three Mishnayos, and this is the second Mishnah. Right at the beginning of Daf Daled Amud Aleph, Ve'elu Shechayovin B'Kalboin, and then we saw the end of that Mishnah, that part of the Mishnah, that there's a Machlekes Tanakam and Reb Meir, whether when a person brings a Machtis HaShekel to the Beis HaMikdash, and he's not bringing a regular Machtis HaShekel coin, and it needs to be changed, then do you bring one kelboin or two kelboins? Reb Meir says he brings two kelboines. My Tamad, Reb Meir, Da'omer, Reb Meir holds, Keshem Sheshaklu Teira, Sheshikloi Teira, Kach Kelboinoi Teira. In the same way as the Shekel itself, the Machtis HaShekel, is a biblical requirement, so too every Machtis HaShekel has to be accompanied by a kelboin. Kosova Reb Meir Benoisin Shikloi Sholim Shochayev Bekelboin or Base Kelboin. The Reb Meir holds that when a person brings his Machtis HaShekel, it has to be accompanied with a Kelboin. And if he's bringing a whole Shekel and wants to get change, a half, then he has to give two Kelboins, one for the transaction, so to speak, and one just to accompany the kalboin. Da'omer Reb Meir, k'min matbea shel eish, hoitzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitachas kisei kvoidei, Hashem, so to speak, took a gold coin out from under his throne, and showed it v'reihu l'moshe, and he showed it to Moshe, v'omar lo and said to him, ze yitnu. This is what you should be giving for Machtis HaShekel, k'ze yitnu. Make sure it's exactly like this, and the value is no less than this. And the reason Hashem said that to him was in order to impress on them, make sure that whenever people give a Machtis HaShekel, they should add a little bit just to make sure that the value doesn't fall short from the value of this coin that I have shown you. So that's the source of Reb Meir. That means Reb Meir's, irrespective of whether one has to pay also for the transactions, a kelboin, besides for that, the Machtis HaShekel itself has to be accompanied by a kelboin. Continues the Gemara. Nosan sela litoil shekel. When a person brings a coin of a whole shekel in order to receive back half a shekel of the Torah, which is giving a sela in terms of the Mishnah to receive back a shekel in Mishnaic terms, Chayiv shnei kelboinus. We saw in the Mishnah he has to give two kelboinus. The question is, who is this following? Omer Reb Elazar. Reb Elazar is going to be a machlokes Rav and Reb Elazar. Reb Elazar says, "De Reb Meir he. It must be Reb Meir." De Reb Meir Omer echod shekel shehu noisin veechod sela shehu noitel. And here the Vilna Gaon already writes, this cannot be the correct version here, and we'll read the version that the Vilna Gaon had. Omer Reb Elazar, De Reb Meir he. Echod shekel shehu noisin ve'echod ledivrei Torah. Reb Elazar holds that since he's giving a larger coin and receiving half back, you need to give one kelboin for the transaction, another kelboin dvar Torah, like Reb Meir said. You have to give a kelboin for that accompanies the Machtis HaShekel. V'Rav Omar. Rav argues with Abulazar and says, Divrei Hakilhi, that this Mishnah that says that Nosan Sela Little Shekel Chayiv Shnei Kelboinis could even be according to the Chachomim, even though the Chachomim say there's no such thing as Kelboin Dvar Torah, that you have to add on every Machza Shekel Minat Torah, you have to add on another Kelboin. No. Because Divrei Hakilhi, Echot Shekel Shu Noisen, Echot Shekel Shu Noitel. Since he's given a big coin, and it's not as if he's giving it for himself and for somebody else. No, he's giving it and wanting change. So then it's similar to two transactions. One is, I need to give you half a shekel, I've given you a whole shekel. Number two, you have to give me back a half a shekel from the full shekel that I gave you. And that's two types of transactions. Two types of transactions requires two kelboins. That means, had you done it with a money changer, they may have charged you two kelboins, and we already said before that Aruch HaShulchan says that a money changer would only have charged one because it's the same transaction. I'm giving you a big coin, give me half back as change. But so the Aruch HaShulchan says that since it's for the benefit of the Beis HaMikdash, we give them a little bit more and we look at it as if it's two transactions. And since it's two transactions, you give two kelboinis, says Rav, and therefore our Mishnah could even be following the Rabbonon. So carries on the Gemara, al daite de Rav, according to the Rav that we just explained now, that even according to the Chachomim, there's two kelboinis for the transaction, then according to Rameir, there's going to be three kelboinis. Gimel kelboinis inun. There's three kelboinis, and then even though the Mishnah said two kelboinis, it's talking about the two kelboinis that everybody agrees with. There's at least these two kelboinis which even the Chachomim agree with. Rameir will obviously say one more. And indeed, also Rabbi Yirmiyah, the Rabbi Yirmiyah came together with Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yitzchok, and they both said b'shem Rav, Shloisha kelboinis inun, there's three kelboinis. Echot shekel shu noisin, one is because I need to give a half a shekel and I gave a full shekel. Ve'echot shekel shu noitel, I need to receive back half a shekel from a full shekel that I gave. Ve'echot, according to Rabbi Meir, is ledvar teira, because minat teira you have to add on an extra kelboin. Continues the Gemara, and this is now where the third part of the Mishnah, which is really the third Mishnah, comes in. That Hashekel Alidei Oni, etc. Ha'achin Hashutfin Shechayovin Kelboin, etc. We're now talking about these brothers that they inherited the Tfusas Abayis, and then they had a status similar to partners. And we say that if they're considered as partners, and they're considered as two individuals that are in a single business as a partnership, then the halachas of Shutfin are that Maisa Behema they're potur, but Kelboinis they would have to give. And if they're not considered Shutfin, and it's considered a single entity of the Tfus HaSabayis, belonging to the father, or associated and attributed to the father, then as far as the Maisa Behema is concerned, they'll be Chayev, because it's not considered Shutfin. As far as Kelboinis is concerned, it's as if one person is giving the Machzah Shekel for somebody else, like Bnei Irei we mentioned, and therefore he will not be Chayev Kelboinis. That's what we saw in the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Ho'achin v'ashutfin shechayovin bekelboin, if they're Chayev a Kelboin, which means that they are considered Shutfin, upturin mimaisa behema. And they're potter from Maisa behema, because Maisa behema yoni Chayev if it belongs to a single person, not if it belongs to Shutfin. What's this case? When would brothers be considered Shutfin? B'shecholku, after, if they first distributed the Tfus HaSabayis, they already gave out the inheritance and everybody got their part, and then the Chozu v'Nishtatfu, and then they again became new partners afterwards, that's just a new partnership, and then it would have all the halachas of Shutfus. The case of Shechayovin b'maisa behema, in a case where it's not considered Shutfus, it's all considered still as if it belongs to the fathers, and therefore they are chayev for maisa behema, upturin min hakalboin, and it's as if, so to speak, the father is taking the machza shekel for the children, and therefore there's no chiyuv of kelboin. He's talking about b'shalei chalku, if they inherited everything from the father, and then the brothers together just as a type of a partnership, but they just continued the father's inheritance and they did not first divide up the inheritance. That has got a din of Tfus HaSabayis. It's, so to speak, still attributed and associated to the father and is not considered a partnership. Continues the Gemara. Omer Blezer, V'hein shecholku g'dim k'neged t'yoshim, u t'yoshim keneged gdim. When do we say that when they divide up the inheritance and then they rejoin up together to make a shutfus, it's considered a partnership? That's only if when they split it up based on monetary value. That means they said everything, all these animals together are worth X. Okay, one brother will take his share, the value of the next brother will take his share, the value of, and but not necessarily splitting up every species and every type in its own way. That means if they split up the gdim, the kids, keneged tiyoshim against the rams, or tiyoshim keneged gdim and the rams against the gdim, that means they more or less, it's considered as if they bought from each other. Because when you have a tfusas abayis, when a father passes away, then really every single type of item that's left, every type of object belongs equally to, according to the ratios of the siblings, it belongs to that sibling. So if you gave out, that means if you split up all the gedim on their own and all the tioshim on their own, then every brother, then it's almost as if yesh brera, this is the tfusas abayis. This was, that means now that we've split it up, it hasn't changed from the status it was before we split it up, that every brother had a certain amount of each type of object. However, if you split it up like gdim keneged tioshim and tioshim keneged gdim, then it's not, there's no brera here. This is just like they've sold to each other. It's like I've sold my part of the rams to you, and in part you'll sell me your part in the kids and the gdim. And then it's just called as if they bought from each other, and it's clearly not considered anymore a tfusas abayis, and it's nothing to do with brera, it wouldn't help brera, and therefore it's considered shutfin, it's not considered tfusas abayis. Avlim cholku gdim keneged gdim utyoshim keneged tyoshim, but if they distributed it, they divided it exactly in the way it was whilst it was in the tfusas abayis, using the logic of brera, meaning that every person got, every child got their share in the gdim, their share in the rams, their share in everything that they were splitting up, then this was his part from when it was tfus hasabayis, and this is just became apparent later which ram was his, which kid was his. And therefore, according to Reb Lezer, if they afterwards, after they divided that way, they again put it together, it's exactly the same status as it was when it was tfus hasabayis, and it has the halachas of belonging to tfusas abayis, not shutfus, and therefore maisa behema will be chayev, and kilboinus will be potter. However, Rabbi Yechanan argues, Omer Rabbi Yechanan says, we're not using brera, he says ein brera, and therefore any way you divide the inheritance, however you divide it, it's as if it's no longer tfusas abayis, it's now as if it's considered sold to each other, or whatever it is, the tfusas abayis is finished now, and if they rejoin together, it's a new partnership, and it has the status of shutfin. Afilu cholku gdim keneged gdim, utyoshim keneged tyoshim, kulukuchay saying it's as if they're buying it from each other, because there's no brera. If you say brera, you can say that when they divide it, it becomes apparent that this kid was always yours, and this ram was always yours, and therefore nothing's changed from its status of tfusas abayis. If you don't say brera, then even if you split up the rams equally, who says I got the ram that was really mine? Maybe I got your ram and you got my ram, and it's just as if we're selling it to each other and coming to terms with this is how we're dividing it. That's kalukuchay sein. It's like they're buying it from each other. Upturin minamaisa, if afterwards they come back together as a shutfus, then those animals that are going to be born then will be considered, they'll be potter for maisa. Or even if they were born before, it's as if they were sold to each other. That's a discussion in the Mefarshim. Kahud taninon tamon, like it says in the Mishnah, halakoach v'shenitin lei b'matona. If you buy or receive an animal from somebody else, then after it was born, you receive the animal, potter mimaisa behema, it's learnt out from Sukkim, you potter from Maisa behema. Here too, those animals that were born before they divided it, if you say that yesh brera and everyone got their chelek, then it's not considered you bought it, and therefore there could still be a chiyuv of maisa behema. But if you say, Rabbi Yechanan says we don't say brera, and then dividing it in and of its own is considered a sale, so it's as if I'm buying the animal from somebody else, and therefore it's potter from Maisa Behema. Continues the Gemara. Reb Chiya said that Reb Yirmiya asked, V'lomo leslon lesnan omrin. Why don't we say that pa'omim shein chayovin bazeh o bazeh? There's even a case where these children will be chayov also for the kelboin and also Maisa Behema, or pa'omim shein p'turin mizeh o mizeh. And there's a case where they'll be exempt from kelboin as well as the Maisa Behema. Says the Gemara, hey Chavida, what would that case be? We'll skip the brackets. Cholku hanachosim v'loy cholku b'habehema. If they split up, if they divided up all the property of the father, besides for the livestock, besides for the animals. So as far as the animals are concerned, it's not considered a partnership, it's considered tfusas habayis. They're all still associated to the name of the father. They'll be chayiv on Maisa Behema. As far as the money used to pay for the machzis hashekel, since all the other nechosim of the father has been divided up, so they're considered shutfin, and they're going to be chayiv, the kelboin. And then you'll be chayiv for both, chayovin, bezeh or bezeh. Cholku abehema v'loy cholku es hanechosim. If they divided all the animals, but they did not divide all the rest of the property of the father, then as far as the animals are concerned, they are considered shutfin and they'll be potter. And as far as the kelbin is concerned, it's loy chilku, and therefore it's as if it's still the father, so to speak, paying for the children. And peturin mizeh umizeh, they'll be exempt from both. Says the Gemara. Omer Ibn Hador da'at Omer, this that you just said now, that if you split up, if you divided up the animals, and you did not divide up the rest of the nechosim, that their potter, mizeh umizeh, is only b'shaloi hoysa b'heim arroiv. It's only if the animals, they were not the majority of what the father left over. Avlim hoysa b'heim arroiv, if the animals were the majority, then hein hein ikur nechosim, then the livestock, the animals, are considered as being the main and dominant part of the inheritance, and therefore it's as if the whole Yerusha has been divided, and therefore it's as if it's considered that they are now going to be considered shutfin, not only regarding the animals, but also regarding the other nechosim. And if so, then regarding the Maisa Behema, they'll be potter, and regarding the kelboin, they're going to be chayiv. Continues the Gemara. Reb Ovin said that Reb Shammai asked, "Mipnei she'asiyoson ka'odom echod eitzel Maisa Behema." Just because you view all the animals as belonging to a single person, to the father, as if all the Yerushim are all considered and all under the name of the father, in order to say that they are potter from, to say that they're chayav for Maisa Behema, because Maisa Behema of Shutfin is potter. But you say they're all considered by Tfusas Habayis as if it's belonging to the father, and they're chayav with Maisa Behema. Just because you are mechayev the Maisa Behema at Poitrim in a Kalboin, you're going to take it so far and say that they're potter from Kelboin? No, maybe only regarding Maisa Behema. We say, be machmir, it's be chayev, because it's attributed still to the father, not to Shutfin. The Kelboin, maybe the children are considered Shutfin. The father's not here anymore, the father's dead. Omarle, the Omrule, the answer to Reb Shammai, lo ishan yohi. Is it not clearly discernible? Is it not so clear that in this case it's not considered as partnerships? Shonoisin sela echot shleimo. They take a single whole coin of a full shekel, which belonged to the father, which comes from the Tfusas Habayis, from that single entity of Tfusas Habayis, and with that they are paying for two brothers, for example. So you see very clearly that this is not just Shutfin, this is a single entity, and therefore it's as if the father is paying for both the children, and therefore they do not need to give the kelboin. Says the Gemara Me'ato, if so, afilu cholku v'chozu v'nishtatfu, even if they divided the Yerusha, and then they, after they divided it, they again made a partnership between them, chayovin b'maisa behema, they should be chayav for maisa behema, upturin min hakelboin. If you say, if you recognize the concept of tfusas habayis, of since they all belong to the father, therefore it's as if it's a single entity and not two people, not Shutfin, then even after they divided, if they afterwards made a new partnership, why don't you say, since they've now all the siblings, all these brothers are again forming a single entity of a partnership with everything that they've inherited from their father, why don't you say it's considered tfusas habayis and not considered shutfin? V'taninon chayovin b'kalboin upturin mimaisi behima. And we see in the Mishnah clearly not like that. We see in the Mishnah that if they were cholku v'chozu v'nishtatfu, they're considered shutfin, the chayiv and the kalboin, a potter from maisi behima. Answers the Gemara, Rebbo b'shem Abba Barav Huna, he shnei achin sheyorshu es aviem, he shnei gisin sheyorshu es chameim. It's very clear that just because the money belonged to one person and now it was inherited and it gets put together again afterwards, that doesn't make it become one. What would happen if father died? He had no sons, he only had two daughters. The two daughters inherited him. The two daughters died, their husbands inherited them. And now you've got these two brothers-in-laws. Are you going to say that just because they afterwards make a shutfus, they make a partnership together, you're going to say, well, the money that they both inherited came from the first person, from the same person, the father-in-law of these two men, and therefore it's called one? Of course you're not going to say that. You'll say it's true, it came from one place, but part of it was inherited and divided to this son-in-law and one to this son-in-law. And now they're making a partnership. It's nothing to do with the tfusas habayis. And the same applies here. When you have two sons, once they divide it, that's it. They've divided it, and now every part of the inheritance belongs to the sons, each son's, what their part is, that belongs to them. And now they're making a new type of, a new partnership. It's nothing to do with the original tfusas habayis. Continues the Gemara, Le'ikon hoyu hakalboinos noiflim. Okay, so we've discussed the kalboinos, and these kalboinos, where do they go? What's happening? We know where the machzor ha'shekel goes. It goes into that chamber, and then they withdraw from the chamber and put it into the three boxes, the three shofaros, which we'll learn about later on, and they use that money for the korbanos tzibur. What happens to these kalboinos? There's a number of explanations. Obviously, Reb Meir is going to say the shkolim. Reb Meir said that the kelboin is part and parcel of the machzis ha-shekel min ha-toira. So obviously, wherever the shekel is going to go, the kelboin is going to go, because the kelboin was just to make sure that the machzis ha-shekel didn't fall short in value from the one that Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu. Reb Lezer Oimer, Lenadova. Reb Lezer says it goes Lenadova for the kaitz ha-mizbeach, if they ever need to buy korbonis. When the Mizbeach has got no korbanos on it, they would buy an animal, make it into an oil, and they would use this money. Reb Shimon Shazuri Oimer, Rikua Zov, V'tzipui Lebeis Kotchi Kedoshim, that we're going to see about this later from the Moisar HaTruma. We're going to learn about this later on in Perek Dalet in Mishnah Beis. Benaza Oimer, Shulchonin Ho Yunoitlin Oison B'schorom. The money changers themselves would take these kelboinos as a fee for what they were doing. V'yesh Oimrim Loitzas Drochim, and others say that the expenses that these money changers had to bring the Shkolim to Yerushalayim, and there's a few different explanations here, but there were other expenses involved, and they would pay these money changers with these extra kalboinis. And Emir Tzashem, in the next year, we're going to learn the next perek. For now, Hadron Aloch Perek Be'echod Ba'ador B'siyata Deshmai, we finished, and we're going to do Chazorah on the first perek of Shkolim.